Bring me my zombie take out. Welcome to episode 134 of Zombie Takeout. The B movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, no listeners submitted this week, but we do have a little bit of news. This first story from Cinema Blend. The Boondock Saints 3 is a possibility. IFC recently spoke with Norman Reedus, who played Murphy in the Boondock Saints, over the phone, in anticipation of the upcoming season of The Walking Dead, and the actor revealed to them that he is about to meet with both co-star Sean Patrick Flannery and writer-director Troy Duffy about the possibility of a third Boondock Saints movie. "I'm in L.A. right now," Reedus said. "I'm meeting with Sean and Troy tonight. We just landed a couple of hours ago, and tonight I'm going over to Troy's house with Sean. It's definitely in the works. Look for it. It's going to be crazy." Now, I haven't seen the second one yet, but I still would love to see another one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, wow, do I remember seeing a second one?
We did review it. I haven't gotten around to it yet. I think I'm waiting for Netflix or something, because I think the first one was on Netflix. But I definitely am looking forward to the third. All right, next story. Manimal is going to be a CG movie. This from IO9.
Saw this earlier.
I posted this one on Facebook a couple of days ago just to give you a little advance warning. THR is reporting that Sony Pictures has decided to turn yet another TV series into a movie, and this one is about a man who can turn into a cat. The main character's name is Dr. Jonathan Chase, and he uses his skills of animal morphing to fight crime, as you do. It was canned after 8 episodes. We don't know, maybe this will be like 21 Jump Street, which was funny. But it's still going to be a weird CG hybrid, so who knows? We can depend on plenty of CG cat face. I was a huge Manimal fan as a kid. I think we may have talked about this before.
I don't know if we ever talked about it on air.
Yeah.
Or, you know, quotes on air. You know what I'm talking about, guys.
I loved Manimal as a kid. A few years back, I decided to look for some episodes on YouTube, because I revisited a couple of other shows from my childhood, and they turned out pretty well. They held up pretty well. Manimal did not hold up well. I was ashamed at how bad it was, because I was once upon a time a fan. I have recently watched episodes of Knight Rider that were better than Manimal.
Oh, dear God.
Yes. Manimal, or Knight Rider, is still... I can't say it holds up, but it's still enjoyable.
Yeah.
In a cheesy 80s kind of way. Manimal was worse. Far worse. I have no idea what possessed them to make this movie, especially considering the series lasted 8 episodes. It's not exactly fondly remembered.
You know? Very few people actually remember it. And of course, they're like me, they vaguely remember it.
You had to be like 12 when it was on.
Yeah.
You had to be in the demographic. It's we talked about this. It's like that whole Friday night thing. Matthew Starr of that era. Matthew Starr of The Master, The Phoenix.
I think I like. Well, I definitely like Matthew Starr, The Master better.
Oh, yeah, The Master. I would actually like to find some episodes of The Master.
I wouldn't mind finding that either. Yeah.
I suspect that does hold up, but that whole group of shows, you pretty much had to be in the target demo to remember them.
Lee Van Cleef, why didn't he get more work?
Because none of them lasted that long.
Yeah.
All lasted maybe a season or two.
I don't understand. They put a show on Friday night. You know it's on a Friday night. It's a shit time slot.
Oh, yeah.
Why would they expect it to do better than it did right away?
Yeah. You know? I think they had high hopes for all of them. You know, Matthew Starr had Louis Gossett Jr., who was, you know, coming off of a soldier. What was the big movie he was in, the military movie?
Oh, he did a number of them, like Iron Eagle and stuff, I think.
There was an earlier one, more serious.
But yeah, I think you're right. It was Iron Eagle came after that.
But he was coming off of that. He was very hot at the time. And I think the guy who played Matthew Starr was from a soap opera, so I think they expected a lot of buzz there. And I think Knight Rider was on that night, too.
It's actually the history of NBC, really.
Yeah.
You put together shows, you know, creative shows, and then you put them in a shit time slot and expect them to take off immediately and then cancel them. Because, I mean, you know how much it costs to develop a show, too? Right. Just how wasteful the whole strategy that they've been using for decades? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Sitcoms, however, they'll nurture, they'll put in like a half hour time slot after a hit and let it go.
Yeah,
but the 1 hour, you know, drama or action adventure thing, that's going to go Friday night at 9.
I think possibly because it's much more expensive to produce. It's longer. You've got the stunts, you know, depending on the genre, the effects. You know, they put more money into it, so they oddly expect a faster turnaround because they have more money on the line, whereas sitcoms are pretty cheap, relatively speaking.
Right. But then you throw it on that Friday slot, you're not going to get an audience there. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-mm. So, yeah, Manimal's going to be a movie.
Man, if only they could do like something of The Master. Powers of Matthew Starr.
Matthew Starr. Matthew Starr was the one that I remember. Even looking back, I know it was bad.
Oh, probably was. It was kind of a knockoff of Starman.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But The Master I'd love to see, even The Phoenix, because I have revisited that and it was good.
All right, since we're doing 80s TV, do you remember the television version of Starman?
No.
Oh my God. Stryker was Starman.
Oh God, that does ring a bell. I don't specifically remember, but that does ring a slight bell.
Robert Hayes, right? He was Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. Jesus, I get the two confused.
Wow. So yeah, I have mixed feelings about this. The part of me that loves bad movies kind of wants to see, but it tremendous mess it's going to be.
It is going to be one tremendous mess.
But I'm also, you know, being a child of the 80s, having loved it back in the day, I'm kind of hoping this goes the way of Akira.
Actually, what sucked was the remake of V.
I watched one episode.
That was bad.
And Alan Tudyk was in that, who, you know, we talked about reviewed Tucker Dell. I'm a fan. So that was a little hard for me, and I loved V. The original V, but one episode and I was out because it was just one cliche after another.
If you weren't a fan of the original, apparently it was more palatable, but
maybe.
Yeah, well, no, I know because I spoke with I know Tuesday was a wasn't a fan of the original then, that.
I don't even know if she was around when the original one came out.
No, she wasn't, of course. It was before her time.
Yeah,
but
so.
She went back. She did go back and watch the originals, though.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, got to see the hot mess that was V.
I think that was another one that was of its time, and you had to be in the demographic to appreciate it.
Well, it lacked subtlety.
Yeah.
That's really all that you need to know about that. You know, when they have the glyph version of the computerized version of the swastika, you know?
It's like Knight Rider, which I mentioned before. I can still appreciate it for kitsch and nostalgia and cheese value, but we all loved it back in the day. And we all can look back and realize it was kind of crap.
At least the first couple seasons, you know? And then after that, it was just, then it just got boring.
And speaking of Knight Rider, on to this week's movie. Which
All
is
right.
From 2012, Piranha 3DD. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by The Fish Walk Among Us by Dr. Carl Goodman.
Oh, don't you mean Dr. Emmett Brown?
And by The Big Wet Water Park. That's not just a description, it's the name.
And the perfect strip club to bring the kids.
Yes, it is.
All right, what we have here is a, like we just said, a water park that he turned into a strip club water park.
Water certified strippers.
Water certified strippers, right. And of course, who has trouble selling a water park?
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a hot area that doesn't have like public pools and stuff. I mean, yeah. But anyway, we have the same piranha showing up at a lake nearby the water park, which is kind of confusing that that didn't get as much attention as it should have. And the water park, he turns out he's drilling like a well to pump water into the park, and yeah, he hits the same primordial lake from the first one, and it takes a while for the fish to get into the water park, but once they do, of course, something will ensue. I don't know. I think I've almost got the plot in there. You've got the kid who works at the water park year round, and the marine biologist girl who is that he's
daughter of the guy who's running the place,
of the sleazy guy who turned it into a strip club without unbeknownst to her. Maddie, I see her name is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just calling her the girl, or you know, the next Harry Houdini, but we'll get to that also. She had a thing with this cop who just kind of a dick, and of course the good guy is the one who has been pining after her all these years, and hilarity ensues pretty much.
Who I'm pretty and the guy pining after, I'm pretty sure related to Neptune or Aquaman or somebody like that.
Oh yeah,
we'll get to that.
Yeah,
within the first, I counted it, 7 minutes, you have probably my favorite death. Not so much because of how it happened, because of who it happened to. Gary Busey.
Well, yeah.
One of the shortest cameos in movie history, right up there with Bruce Campbell in Congo.
Yeah, he's the Richard Dreyfuss. It's kind of a downgrade,
yeah,
I feel,
yeah,
in cameos, because Dreyfuss was just so brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And to go from Dreyfuss to Busey is kind of,
But it suits the movie. One thing about this movie, and this is, you will love it or hate it for this reason, it goes completely over the top. It is intentionally and gleefully bad.
And I guess this was kind of what I left in the notes for the end of it, but I'll do it at the beginning. It changed the story on the first one in for a funnier script.
Yes. Yeah, there really isn't much story. You just have, you know, the guy running the water park is corrupt, the cop is corrupt, and she's trying to stop them with this
right.
guy pining after her, helping her out here and there.
And it wasn't even necessary for them to be corrupt either. It was a completely useless bit
of attempt. But it's a cliche, so they have to throw it in.
I guess so.
It was deliberately thrown in for the cliche.
I mean, this could very well have been the shortest plot summary I've done in this whole podcast history. But that's because there really isn't any plot to talk about, honestly. That was it.
Now, at the beginning, the only part that I'm kind of confused about and critical of, they were trying to get a dead cow out of the water. Why?
Very good question.
Of course, that leads to how the piranha first come back. Because they're getting into the water and you see all the eggs, like in the cave in the first movie. And one of them exits actually two of them exit the dead cow in a very interesting way.
Well, yeah, there were a bunch of them in the cow. They kept coming out.
Well, I mean the first one though.
Oh.
At the back end of the cow.
Right.
Very close up shot. But yeah, you have Busey dying in the first 7 minutes, which is awesome because it's Busey.
Right. Let me just describe the awesome acting skills of Gary Joshua Buddy Holly Busey. Getting simultaneously bitten by a horde of piranha looks exactly like stubbing your toe.
Yeah, yeah.
That is exactly how much emotion he put into that. It was just kind of
And then, for some reason, he bites the head off of one and spits it out.
Well, right, because, you know, you're not taking Gary Busey down without a fight.
Yeah. Of course, it's because it was shot in 3D, he spits it right at the camera.
Right. Now, yeah, the 3D, the effects in this one were much better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Than the first one.
Yeah, no bad CGI death scenes.
I don't even know if it was good CGI, but just the first one was so bad.
This was acceptable.
Yeah, this one was acceptable. In fact, I was even wondering, did they actually film this in 3D?
Yes,
they
did.
Very end.
It was shot in 3D.
Yeah. until, you know, some of the gag reel at the end.
Mm-hmm. And I think this one in general had better death scenes too. Busey aside.
It didn't seem like it had enough death scenes though, did it?
There were fewer. It definitely cuts down on the gore compared to the first one.
Yeah.
But I think they were overall more interesting and definitely better shot. I mean, they looked better. That, again, has to do with the CG. And particularly, I think his name was Josh. Well, we'll just get into it this way. What did you think of how they got onto dry land?
What, the...
The stowaway.
Oh. Yeah.
You have this couple skinny dipping. One of the piranha stows away.
One of them from Katrina Bowden from...
Yes, Tucker and Dale. Played Tucker Allison Dale. And Tucker and Dale.
Yeah.
It stows away in her. and somehow survives for... It was just, I think, the one night. Oh, it was a couple of days, wasn't it?
I think about a day.
Okay. Somehow survives inside of her, and she only feels a little ill.
And she doesn't feel it going into her.
Well, she felt it, but she didn't. She thought the guy was messing with her.
Right. But, I mean, the size of the fish.
Yeah.
The size of
her. Well, it was a young fish. It wasn't a full-size piranha. It would fit.
Hmm.
But she would feel it, especially given all the bones that those things had.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they're about to, you know, do the thing you shouldn't do in a horror film.
Think about it, though. let's think about entry here, John.
Okay, we're still on that.
Think of the effect a finger would have.
Yes, yes.
And think of the size of a fish compared to the finger.
Well, yes, but the fish wasn't significantly wider than the average penis.
And right, you would kind of...
You would feel that. She felt it.
No.
Not like she didn't feel it.
Yeah, but it would be more like the different of a, hey, what just happened kind of thing. It'd be, holy fuck, what just happened?
Yeah, yeah.
there would be like, I mean, it would be the reverse of the, I wish I could remember the guy's name from Alien, from, you know, that they used for coupling. But it would be the reverse of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Not just a, what are you doing? Ah.
Yeah. Oh, the chest burster, yes.
Right. It would be the reverse
chest
of
burster
that.
In reverse, yeah.
Yes.
But if that was the case, if it was realistic in that sense, she wouldn't have gone a day with it in there and then right. led to, well, what was the line? Let me see. Josh cut off his penis because something came out of my pussy.
I thought it was Regina. I think she was technical.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. I know because I was thinking of that for the intro.
Yeah, well, I have it too, but I have Zombie Takeout replaced for both of them, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I always put the original in.
But yeah, so they're in the act.
Especially with that, because we didn't know which one we were going to replace in Zombie Takeout.
I had them both. They're in the act. He screams, pulls out, and there's the fish. So not only did it get in there, it turned around.
Yeah. Well, it was making a beeline, shall we say? Yeah, but you could see it kind of moving through her.
Yeah, yeah. Little, you know, there was some motion in her stomach, you could say.
Yeah.
And then, well, it led to possibly the most painful scene.
Yeah.
And possibly the most irrational. Because he pulls out, the fish is clamped on. He decides to cut it off. Not just the fish. The whole deal.
Well, I think they don't show him actually doing the maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
The fish could have bitten it off.
Possibly.
Upon stabbing. I was thinking about that, which is, I don't know what's wrong
with me.
But
the fish was still hooked on.
But, you know, yeah, I was thinking.
Bitten through, possibly, but not off.
You don't think it could have bitten it off?
Well, it wouldn't have been off. Well, you mean before he brought the knife down?
I think the act of stabbing.
Oh, okay. I took that as he was cutting it off to get rid of the fish.
Oh.
That makes more sense that he was stabbing the fish.
Yeah, because you know, I think that's the last thing I would imagine any
Yeah.
human would ever do.
That
Just
makes
being,
more sense
no,
then.
it
Okay.
has to be some other thing that happened to it.
Yeah, you're
Nobody would
probably
cut it
right.
off themselves.
Yeah.
I don't care what was clamped to it.
He went to stab the fish, and then the fish bit through. That makes more sense. And we get yet another close-up on a penis, like in the last one.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
They like that apparently. Just one though, you know.
Now, in this one, they didn't take as much time with the kills as they did in the first one. You had that nice lull after the first kill.
This one had went on forever with people just going into the water willy-nilly
Dodging them.
and nothing happening to
Yeah.
them. These fish sucked through most of the movie, actually.
Although I did like the pier chase.
Oh yeah.
Maddie and this other girl out on a pier, and the fish attack, and they're jumping up and breaking the boards as they're trying to get off the pier.
Right, very Uncle Tom's Cabin, you know, the old school melodrama
Yeah,
thing where they're rushing to get into the water.
great
And
scene.
you know, they had this at the that sort of thing towards the end of the first one. This they just kind of get out of the way in the beginning.
Right. But there was one character who I expected to buy it. Oh, he didn't. He never bought it, but I expected to get attacked much sooner. Dave.
Yes.
Who was constantly humping the water jets at the park.
Big Dave.
Like, every time you saw him, he was having sex with a water jet. And he doesn't get bit until the end, which I thought was a great setup.
Yeah.
Because you kept waiting for it. Another nice thing they did in this one. They explained how the piranha got into the park.
Well, yeah,
He
they do
showed you
set that up.
very clearly they can push through metal.
Yeah.
Unrealistic, but at least they got it out of the way and it made sense. And it gave them an excuse for another Christopher Lloyd scene, because he's in like two scenes in this one.
Christopher Lloyd's an idiot in this, though. If you see that the fish can push through steel, reinforce the fuck out of that tank.
Yeah, that's a good. I did not think about that.
That's all I was thinking during that scene. I'm like, wait a minute, what? Was he crazy?
Well, no, but they hadn't evolved yet by that point.
Oh, sit around and wait till he figures out how to get through the glass?
He didn't know that the. Spoiler alert, by the end of the movie, they figure out how to walk on land and breathe air. They evolved to that point in the very last scene.
Right.
At that point in the movie, when it's in the fish tank, he didn't know that. Far as he knew, if it got out of the tank, it was gonna die. It couldn't
Are
survive out
they?
of the tank.
I don't know if I can wait till sequels and remakes to ask the question, are they really going to do another movie where they're walking, where it's going to be walking fish?
I wouldn't surprise me, but I don't know if I'd want that as much as I love this one. I think that would just be too much.
That, yeah, it would just be the height of absurdity.
Yeah, it doesn't lend slow walking unless they go kind of in a zombie direction.
Come on, it's gonna eat fish.
Because they're kind of slow.
Right.
So if you make it like a zombie thing, like
Zombie
slow walking
fish.
zombies, because they're not hard to avoid. I mean, they can, granted, they can jump and take off your head, but we'll
Yeah.
get to that part. And that actually leads me to probably my favorite thing about the movie.
The Hoff, right?
The Hoff. I've said it before, I am kind of a Hoff fan, in an ironic kind of way. I like how he has embraced his image.
And goddamn, did he embrace his image of this?
He has the best lines. He is the high point of this movie.
Yeah.
By far. I never thought I'd say that about Hoff.
Cause, yeah, honestly, I was kind of bored with a lot of it, you know, leading up to him. And then he came in and yeah, he turned it around.
You little ginger moron.
Right.
The line still cracks me up. Another great thing, we have the return of Ving Rhames and his new catchphrase, "Bring me my legs."
Yes.
And we find out what happened to the cameraman. But we don't have find out how he left the first movie, but he comes back.
There
And
had to have been a scene missing from the last one, though, where they left with the other girl.
because he just disappears completely. And he shows up again as nursemaid to Ving Rhames, who lost his legs in the last one,
Right.
and has m shotgun legs now.
That work underwater.
Yeah. And the leg was actually built in a single night. The prop. And it's a pretty decent looking prop. I mean, they took some gun parts and just bolted them to a fake leg, but
I don't know, I guess the high point of the movie for me is hearing Marcellus Wallace going, "These are titanium, motherfuckers."
yes.
For some reason, the fish were biting, trying to bite
The
the fake legs.
fake leg, yeah. And I
I
don't mean
think.
fake as in, realistic looking. It was a metal crutch
Right.
that attached to his leg.
The fish just biting into it. What? I thought you said they were evolving.
Well, that's at the end they evolve.
Yeah, I know.
And there's a great scene with those two, with the cameraman and Ving Rhames, where he's, of course, phobic of water now because piranhas ate off his legs. And he's telling the cameraman, who is now his nursemaid, to dump him into the water to get over the fear. And they, of course, go back and forth, he's telling him to do it, and then he says stop at the last minute, and the cameraman stops. This happens about 4 times, and there's this woman who approaches them and sees this and basically rips the cameraman a new one for messing with the guy in the wheelchair. And instead of, saying, I told him to do it, Ving Rhames just completely pussies out because he wants to avoid the water. And just completely plays weak there.
Poor stump of a man.
Great line. Another, well, I can't say cameo because he's one of the leads, but kind of a name, somewhat of a name, in this, David Koechner. Best known for Anchorman. He's done some cameos on The Office.
Oh, yeah. I think he's originally a Daily Show,
Okay.
a correspondent.
Now, normally, I'm not a fan of his stuff. He plays the same character every time, and it kind of annoys me. I liked him in this one, and I figured out why. Nobody pretends to like him.
Right.
He is the asshole in this movie, and that character that he always plays is the asshole. So it was completely, it fit. I liked him. Because he plays the part brilliantly.
No, I'm wrong. He's originally an SNL
Oh, okay. Haven't seen that one in ages. No, just
from
why
like
I don't know.
mid-90s.
Now, back to the Hoff for a second. Now, the interesting thing here, aside from, completely owning up to, how he's perceived and all of that, and playing with the whole washed-up actor thing,
Yeah.
which I loved, he's also kind of the audience's perspective. He's the one who sees it from the perspective of the audience. Kid calling the kid a little ginger moron, and just basically sitting there and wisecracking as this massacre is happening in the water park.
I was kind of expecting him to put the movie itself down a bit more, just like, yeah, she's got talent. What's she doing in this fucking film?
Well, that was an outtake, wasn't it? Was that wasn't in the
It just,
movie.
yeah, it didn't actually make the movie, no.
Yeah. That would have been a great line in the outtake, though.
Yeah, it would have.
But he's saying, this is just natural selection, I'm not a lifeguard. Don't expect me to actually do anything here.
Giving the kid an autograph instead of a band-aid.
Well, then that was great because the kid had never heard of him. The kid was like 8.
Yeah.
Had never heard of him before, and he was just completely ruined because this kid had never heard of him. And he's practically has to beg the kid to take an autograph. Now, I guess we're kind of getting toward the end of the movie, which is the big massacre scene.
Yes, the fish finally kill because they kill one couple early in the beginning. They play upon the whole, being stuck in a trapped in a sinking car, which, that's pretty good for a piranha movie. You add a couple of these other bits of suspense, and that worked.
And the one kills Josh.
Yeah.
Well, Josh kind of kills himself accidentally. I don't know how you want to call that.
Did Josh actually die?
I assumed. I don't think it was ever flat out established.
They were in the hospital.
She was in the hospital, was he?
I think they both were. They didn't show, if he made it out or not. They just kind of left that whole thing behind once
Yeah.
that had played out.
Once you got that
Yeah.
line out, they were pretty much done with that whole thing.
Yeah. Which was good because there would have been too many
Yeah.
unnecessary subplots going at the same time.
But so it's the big attack. Maybe they killed maybe 3 people, arguably, up until this point.
Yeah.
And then they get into the water park. And everybody dies, just except for your heroes.
Right.
Actually, it was Hoff, Maddie, and Barry, the nice guy. We're the only survivors.
Well, you forgot about Dave. Big Dave.
Oh, and Big Dave. That's it. Those were the only survivors. Basically, the good guys and Dave were the survivors.
I don't know if we want to spoil Big Dave taking revenge.
No, we won't. We'll leave that alone.
Yeah.
Not sure if chlorine can do that, but
I don't know if that was chlorine.
The bottle he dumps in says chlorine on it.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. It does something that I'm not sure chlorine can do, but I'm not going to nitpick the science in a piranha movie.
Wow. How the hell do piranhas survive through chlorine anyway?
It logically would have killed them. It was a good move. It just did something that I don't think it could do. I could be wrong.
Think about it, though. Would they have survived in the water of the water park in itself because it's chlorinated?
That's true. Didn't think about that. Which is a beautiful thing about the movie is I'm the guy who nitpicks the science, and I didn't even wince at that. That never occurred to me that they're not going to survive in these chlorinated pools.
Well, I was thinking in the last movie. I mean, how would they have survived going from the primordial lake to the, you know, the modern lake?
Yeah.
You know, the water is going to be, you know, different makeup. You know, for them to just go from one to the other. I just, oh, yeah, fine, you know. I was thinking, like, huh? But going to chlorinated water, I can't see this.
Well, they're definitely not going to survive in chlorinated water.
Right.
And that end part also has another one of my favorite moments. Barry has his hero moment. Maddie is in danger. I'm not going to explain how. And he tries to save her. Thing is, they establish early on that he can't swim. And
yes.
It's a water park, so the danger obviously involves water.
Right.
He dives in to save her, realizes he can't swim, gets out. He just bails on it. You know, while narrowly escaping the piranha. And it's not till later he comes back with a fairly clever way of saving her. He has a cinder block tied around his waist so he could go down. And then he just removes this cinder block to go back up.
Is she's underwater for, like, what?
Oh, yeah. She held her breath way too long.
Ridiculous amount of time underwater. Yeah.
But in this kind of movie, you accept that. Even if this was a straight, serious movie, it would be acceptable for her to be able to do that.
Now,
because it's just upping the suspense.
The problem I have with the massacre, though, it was very clumsily filmed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think the worst part of it was people had blood on them before the fish started the attack.
See, to me, that just makes it better because this to me is actually, I have to quote somebody to describe my take on this movie because a few weeks back, Tom Gerke watched it and he was tweeting about it. And he quoted the, you know, Josh bit cut off his penis line.
Yeah.
And I just wrote back, you know, I love Piranha 3DD. And I think I said something like B-movie cheese at its finest. And the line he came back with was a perfect description of this movie. The best kind of terrible. So something like that, I just kind of laugh at it, and it endears the movie to me. Yes, they had blood on them before the piranha attacked, but
yes.
I like that about it.
They started the attack. No one had been bitten yet, but you could clearly see the blood streaming down them when the piranha was going to attack them.
Yeah, it's noticeable, but if you're, you know, going along with the movie, it doesn't happen long enough before the attack to really bother you, to really get your attention, I don't think.
I mean, it's close enough, though, but I mean, there's supposed to be a moment where everyone's having fun to the terror.
Yeah.
And if there's blood before the terror,
it
kind of takes away from the terror.
Sure. And also, this leads up to probably my favorite death in the movie. David Koechner's character, the slime ball, runs the park. He was up on his, you know, walkway where he's watching over the water park.
Yeah.
Running away, of course, with the money.
Yeah.
With all the money he's made. Sees this little girl over her mother's dead body, begging him for help. He throws a few dollars at her.
Makes it rain over
her
mother's corpse.
Drives off on a golf cart. And you see this banner in front of him on, you know, just basically
you left out a detail
with a little
you left out a detail. He puts it in reverse.
Oh yes, thank you.
He backs up over the mother's corpse.
Yes.
Maybe even the daughter too.
I assume
they don't show it.
I assume they killed the girl.
They leave that up to your imagination if he hit the girl or not. Mm-hmm. And then drives forward.
Into this line of, it's basically a string with some flags on it.
Yeah.
Drives straight through it, doesn't take it down, it decapitates him. And it's one of those slow decapitations where he keeps going and you just see the blood slowly drip from the neck and then the head falls off.
Yeah, it was a Kurgan decapitation.
And they did another one. Was that in this or in the last week's where they did that with the two girls?
Yeah, they did.
No, it was in last week's because it was at the lake and it was a cable that
cut
them. Yeah, they did one of those. And my other favorite is at the very end, and I almost don't want to spoil it. They went there.
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of referenced it earlier. I'll spoil it. Because this movie, at this point, you're not really that shocked by it, but I just love that they went there.
Right. This isn't really about suspense.
No. Because you're not sure if he kills the girl or in the scene with the golf cart, I assumed. But this one, clearly, they established that the piranha can now walk on land and assumingly breathe air. They didn't say breathe air, but yeah, one comes with the other.
Right.
But they're very slow. And the little ginger moron, the kid who didn't know who Hoff was, who he saved in an earlier scene, and you have the Baywatch music playing, and he's got the can. And
yeah.
But he goes about 10 feet and says, fuck, I'm getting old. And then continues with the rescue. But
now, what the hell were kids doing at a strip club water park?
Yeah. They could peer over the fence, so of course they were going to be there.
Right.
But yeah, the kid's walking up to the piranha that can now walk on land with a little camera, and the piranha jumps and takes the kid's head off, basically eating it in one bite.
Right.
They went there. I think that and the decapitation were my favorites.
My favorite is Big Dave.
Yeah, well, Big Dave doesn't die. He just gets a bit.
Oh, I know.
And then it has to have the piranha that's attached to him, and in a different way than Josh.
Right.
Forcibly removed.
Why the hell would the piranha try that?
And then he takes his revenge with the chlorine.
Yes.
Now, a little bit of trivia. The sound of the piranha growls was a chihuahua. Which, it doesn't sound like a chihuahua. I've heard
they must have pitched
it down.
Yeah.
Also, puppets were used as much as possible for the piranha, so they weren't CG in most cases.
Oh, definitely. You could tell.
Yeah. Which I think it has to do with the improvement in effects. They just didn't go to CG as much as the
yeah. Big improvement.
Yeah. Also, the two songs that Hoff sings were written by the director.
Oh, yeah?
And the last one you have to hear.
Yeah.
In fact, I will say this again. I've mentioned this twice now whenever we've talked about the movie. There's a lot after the credits start. There's a whole outtake reel and a couple other scenes.
Yeah, at first I didn't know if I liked the whole Cannonball Run credits. Mm-hmm. But yeah. They won me over. I was in.
When you get the Hoff's last line, it's worth it. Because a lot of the outtakes are eh.
Yeah.
But you get the Hoff's last line, it's great. Hoff's natural selection line, which is in the trailer, is at the very end. You hear that, it cuts to a black screen, scrolling credits, then you're done. One last bit of trivia. Danielle Panabaker, who played Maddie, had to surmount her fear of water while making the movie.
Oh, wow.
She was water phobic before she made this movie, and she swims like 4 times.
Oh, yeah.
So, massive props there.
Definitely.
All right, so I'm pretty much done with my notes.
Yeah, I'm done with mine as well.
On to sequels and remakes. This was, of course, the sequel to Piranha 3D.
Yeah.
I can see them making a sequel where the piranha walk on land. It would basically be a slow-moving zombie movie.
I think you reached the Graham Chapman moment. I mean, this movie kind of reached the Graham Chapman moment of too silly.
But it did it beautifully. And
to go beyond that would just remove me now.
So, and if obviously remakes, this is a remake. So, well, the last one was a remake, so that
Yeah.
makes her out at this point.
Yeah.
All right, so on to Brains.
On the brains.
Like I said, when I first talked about this after I watched it in the beginning of June, I had very high expectations for this movie. In fact, the first words out of my mouth in our Trailer Clash episode after the trailer played was, "I already love this movie." It did not disappoint at the time. It still doesn't disappoint. I am in love with this movie. I'm going five.
I'm almost up there with you. I'm giving it a four. I think I kind of missed the story from last week, but I guess you can't really do the same thing twice in a sequel anyway.
It's not about the story.
So you throw the story out, you get some funny people. I mean, you definitely have an upgrade,
Oh, by
comedian
far,
wise.
in terms of the names and the cameos, yeah.
Right. And so yeah, four.
All right, so what have we learned?
We learned to watch our ass.
And I learned that that is what natural selection is all about. So, until next week, when we will be continuing our movies. How do I want to put the name? How do we want to name this trilogy?
Oh, our Trailer Clash episode trilogy.
Yeah, it's
It kind
movies
of
that
sucks.
we reviewed the trailers of on our Trailer Clash episode back in April.
So you should listen to Trailer Clash.
It's the April 1st episode. I want to say 35, but I'm not sure.
The Hoff Diaries.
Yes. Of course, Piranha 3D, 3DD was one of them. Next week it is Battleship. So we liked this one. I don't think we'll like that one.
The Citizen Kane of 2010 or 2011, right?
I
Yeah.
think so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, the episode itself, of course, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It'll really help us out. You can also find the movie list, every movie we've done to this point, and every movie we're planning to do later, minus some of the requests that I haven't put on there yet. You can also find the request form. If you have a movie you want us to review, let us know. And the recommendations list. Every movie we have given a four or better collectively.
Oh, this made it.
Yes, this definitely made it. You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Take that, laughing diarrhea baby.
Perfect place for the let me take that again. And the perfect strip club to bring the kids.
Yes, it is.